text today comes from John 2, our gospel reading. Take these things away. Stop making my Father's house a place of business. His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." This is our text. Jesus has a temper. Well, at least he has a wild and a dangerous side. Tender, compassionate, kind Jesus is nowhere to be found this morning. Instead, we've got Jesus the rabble-rouser, Jesus the protester, initiating his own one-man version of Occupy Jerusalem. We've got anti-establishment, anti-business, anti-enterprise Jesus acting like an anarchist. What a scene he creates, what chaos he foments. Cows and sheep running loose, coins rolling, tables flipping, doves flying, people scattering, and all of it driven by the beat, by the crack of the whip. Jesus' homemade whip. Sweet Jesus, indeed. But who can blame him? Let's not forget what actually sparked this passionate outburst. Jesus may look like the God of war and destruction as he drives out the businessmen of the temple, but the real authors of destruction were the businessmen themselves. Now, the real destroyers were those charged with the care of the temple, but woefully derelict in their duty, those who allowed, perhaps even encouraged, the temple to be remade into a pilgrim's one-stop mini-mall. Jesus may have wielded the whip, but it was the priests and the masters of the Sanhedrin who were responsible for the dust-up in the temple that spring day. Jesus was simply responding to the problem they had created. And in a sense, he had no choice. He couldn't help himself. This was the temple, his Father's house. He could not stand by and merely watch as it was desecrated by those who were supposed to honor and guard it. Jesus was doing what he had to do. He wasn't destroying. He was protecting. He was protecting his Father's house from those who were destroying it. I doubt, though, that everyone else saw it that way, though. In fact, I rather suspect that the temple leaders and their businessmen had no idea that they were the villains that day. It's obvious from their ultimatum to Jesus, demanding evidence of his authority to purge and occupy their temple. It's obvious that they saw Jesus as the problem. From their perspective, they had done nothing wrong. The temple was still functioning, prayers were being prayed, and sacrifices were being made, and the business ventures they had approved didn't seem to be causing any harm. In fact, they were doing a lot of people a lot of good. Convenience, pragmatics, and realistic expectations readily justified their stewardship of the temple. And that's the way that it goes, doesn't it? They didn't set out to do it. They didn't mean to destroy God's temple. And they definitely never made a conscious choice to destroy or even just remake it a little. Sort of just happened. Stewardship of the temple is no longer a concern for any of us here, of course. Herod's temple, God's house during Jesus' earthly ministry, well, that was leveled by the Romans long ago. And still, there are some obvious applications that can't be missed. And it's worth asking what Jesus' rebuke of the temple businessmen says today to us, who are responsible for the stewardship of God's new temple, his church. If nothing else, Jesus' extreme actions of indignation and his pointed words of rebuke aimed against business in the temple should give us all pause when we consider what is and what is not appropriate activity in our congregational halls and narthexes. Do we really want to sell that stuff here? And a bit more thought raises some significant and provocative questions about the role of business models, business methods, and business insights into the conduct of Christ's church. What does Wall Street or Madison Avenue have to do with Jerusalem or with Wittenberg? But these are high hanging curves and not particularly threatening to most of us. So perhaps we should dig a little more and give some thought to the possibility that without really meaning to do it, we have allowed destruction into Christ's church. Consider the contrast between Jesus and his passion for God's house and the aloof businessmen and their cronies in the temple who have casually and routinely reduced the house of God to a venue for business, a place to make some money. Zeal versus complacency. Red hot passion versus unflappable nonchalance. Outrage and action rooted in a personal investment versus cynical apathy and disinterested indifference. It's not just Jesus' temple adversaries who contrast disastrously with Jesus' holy zeal. Too often, our own passion, zeal, and love for our Lord's house, for our Lord's church, seems to be a rare and an unusual commodity indeed. Which describes your relationship, your attitude toward Christ's church? Zeal or complacency? Red-hot passion or unflappable nonchalance? Outrage and action rooted in a personal investment or cynical apathy and disinterested indifference? Maybe the detached and the perfunctory business model has permeated more of our thinking, more of our feeling, more of our acting than we'd like to admit. Without meaning to do it, zeal fades, passion wanes, and destruction results, all quite unintentionally. But Jesus is deliberate. His passion is keen. His zeal, well-aimed. He embodies the slogan emblazoned on the Under Armour tee. He wrote it. Protect this house, I will. And Jesus' zeal for God's house consumes him. It eats him up. Indeed, it destroys him. Zeal for God's house always comes with a price. Not the calculated, careful price of doing business, but the incalculable, reckless price of passion, of love. And the price Jesus pays to protect this house is the very proof of his authority. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. It took a while, but they did. And he did, just like he said. They destroyed, he raised it up. They just couldn't keep up with the moving metaphor. And the metaphor keeps moving. The temple, Jesus' body, Christ's church, God's house, all three. destroy any of them, and Christ will raise it again. He can do that. He's Lord. His resurrection proves it. But the metaphor has yet another move to make. The temple, Jesus' body, Christ's church, your body. Destroy it, whether by careless indifference or by paying the price that comes when you live with holy zeal and determined passion. Destroy it, and Jesus will raise it. It's what he does. He owns the slogan. Protect this house. I will. Protect this house. I will. Better than you ever can, he will. He does. Protect this house. Christ will. Amen.